Abraham had one son, and then Isaac had two sons. And we've been taking a look. We took a look at that at the nursing home this past week. So, okay, one son and two sons. That's a multiplication, but it seems like it's going to take a long time. But then Jacob had 12 sons. The Lord gave him 12 sons. And the Lord does bring it to pass. And as Brother Mark studied about Moses in this adult Sunday school class, we saw there that the Lord multiplied indeed the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they were a multitude coming out of Israel. And then, as Abraham was told and that his children, that he would be a God to them. And so Abraham has that promise, but then they had to come about. They had to come to existence, to birth, and to life, and to the time of their life. And then the Lord visited them, and he said, I am the Lord. And it's that personal understanding and relationship with the Lord. And although the Lord has not spoken to any of us audibly, like he did many of them, but through the Spirit, indeed, he has spoken to us. And when he visited us and convicted us and showed us Christ, he spoke to us, I am the Lord. Okay, and so we've come to know him and by that salvation. And so he's revealed himself even unto the nation. He has chosen this man Moses to lead them out of Egypt. They disobey there at Sinai. They disobey going into the land of Canaan. They have complaint and quarrel. Remember the spies, a 10 against 2. And then the Lord began to chastise and to judge. Joshua and Caleb are the ones that say, well, the Lord said it, he'll do it. Even if it looks impossible to you and me, he will do it if he said it. They believed. But then the other 10, they gave a bad report about it all. And so then the Lord said, well, okay, you were afraid for your children. That was that first generation. That was their complaint, is that, well, they'll just devour us and they'll devour our children. Well, the Lord said, okay, well, you're going to die in the wilderness. You're going to sojourn for the 40 days that the spies spent in Canaan, right? And you're going to do that in years, and you're going to sojourn, and that generation's going to die in the wilderness. And those very children that you thought would be a prey, I'm going to take them in. I'm going to take them in. And if you take a look, which Lord willing, we might do that. I shouldn't tell you that if I say might. We'll go ahead and look to do that. The death rate during that 40 years, let me tell you, was incredible. For that generation, 20 years and older, to die off in that 40 years, people were dying every day. And then that second generation, 20 year, or 19 years and younger, they grew on up during that 40 years. And now they are there. Moses has been taken on to be with the Lord. And the Lord has sent another man, raised up another man, Moses' servant, Joshua, to be the leader, to go ahead and take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. In the book of Joshua, we see about many of the blessings and the Lord giving them dominance in Canaan and giving them a blessing and what he had promised them and them being able to take over the land and all that. And what we want to do this afternoon is just see that it's about Joshua. This is just before going into the time of the judges. So we have an understanding of this. I'm trying to tie together what the Lord said to the nation, I am the Lord. And that's what the Lord expected it to be. I am the Lord. I am your Lord. And as it was personal between Abraham and the Lord, as it was personal between Isaac and the Lord, as it was personal between Jacob and the Lord, so it was to be personal between the children of Israel as a nation. Okay, I'm speaking as a nation. Because we know within the nation there were those that didn't believe and those that believed. But he was to be their Lord. And that's the way it was supposed to be going into the land. But something else took place. And so let's take a look here. Let me get over here. I'm in the wrong place. Let me get over here to Joshua. And let's take a look at the last two chapters this afternoon and get an understanding about what the Lord was what the Lord's mind was in regards to the children of Israel being taken to and living in Canaan. Joshua chapter 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about. They had fought, they'd displaced, they'd pushed out. It was going to be metered because the Lord said, if I take out all the people, then the wild beast will rise up and you'll have a problem with them. So it'll be by meter. It'll be in steps. So you can just push and drive the Canaanites out. And the Lord had different orders for different ones of them. Some of them were killed off. Some of them were driven out. Okay? And that's a study for another time. But they had rest from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. There are men, there were the 70 that were set over, or even more than that, set over the affairs by Moses of the different tribes and in orders and stuff. They had different leaders and different ones of 50s and hundreds and thousands and all that. There was an order there of leadership within the tribes and within the nation. And then, like the Lord's, like Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had recommended to him, the stuff that's very difficult for them, they'll bring to you because they're going to be wore out in taking care of all the business of this million, million and a half people that's growing. And so Joshua calls for all those, their heads, their judges, their officers, and said unto them, I'm old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Verse 4, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward, the Mediterranean. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them from out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land. Because, see, that was the word of the Lord and the order of the Lord. Total displacement, total cleansing, if you will, of the land. Them and their idols and their altars and their gods removed. That was what it was to be. As the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left. Those first five books written by Moses, the Pentateuch, right? Don't forget that. Remember that. Obey that. Put that to work in your life and in this land. And do what the Lord has said. Don't be tempted to look to the right. Don't be tempted to look to the left. Do what has been given unto you. Listen to that. You have been given a word from God, written down by your previous and first leader. Don't forget it and follow it. Isn't that interesting? That ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, don't even say their name, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. So they had been obedient, had they? There had been success because they had obeyed the Lord. Were they without sin? No, they're sinners. They're sinners. They have failings and such as that. But as a whole, they had obeyed the Lord. And the Lord had used this man to lead them, this second generation, to lead them in and to have success by obeying the Lord and the Lord's promises. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. He's reminding them about what the Lord has done. One man of you shall chase a thousand. How do you like those odds? How do you like that ratio, one in a thousand? But see, if we are on the Lord's side, right, the Lord is on our side, we need to be careful about how we think about that. It's the Lord's side that we need to be on. We need to follow the Lord. If the Lord is with us, who can be against us, right? One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Relationship, fellowship with him, enjoying what his plan and his promise and purpose is for the nation. Else if ye would do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, there's more work to be done. Don't stop. There's more work to be done. And ye shall make marriages with them and go in unto them, and they to you. So don't mingle with them. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Don't meddle with them. Don't have to do with them. Don't make marriages with them. Don't meddle with their gods. Don't even say their gods' names. Get them out of here. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, Joshua says. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed, not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. You know that what God has said, he's brought to pass. You know it. Don't forget it. Rest in it and count on it. And go on forward. I'm going to die. But you keep on going. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. So you disobey him. You go a way that seems right to you, apart from the oracle, the word of God given to you by the hand of Moses, the Lord's man. You forget about the promises of the Lord and you begin to mingle with the inhabitants that remain. Know that the Lord is going to destroy you. Obey him. Keep on following him. When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, verse 16, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Now, there's one thing that I want us to consider in that chapter. Joshua has said he's going to go the way of all the earth. He's going to die. He's reminded them about what the Lord has said, what the Lord has promised, and what the Lord has done. The Lord has been faithful in every single thing that he has told the children of Israel. What's one thing that Joshua doesn't say? And this man will be your next leader. He doesn't say that, does he? Brother Moses did. Because they needed a leader, and the Lord knew that. They needed a leader to take them into the land. But what is Joshua saying here? I'm going to die. And who their next leader is going to be is who? Not a man. Not a man. But the Lord. The Lord has spoken. It's been written down in those first five books that they have in the Pentateuch. They've been given a commission. They've been given authority. They've been given the power of the Lord. They've been given promises. And the Lord says, you've done it. The brother Joshua says, you've done it. Look how the Lord's been faithful. And you just keep on doing it. And your new leader will be? No, he doesn't say that, does he? Okay, let's listen in the next chapter. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and he presented themselves before God. Holy convocation. A gathering together to hear the leader, the man of God, that is their leader, Brother Joshua. the second one that they've had, the one that came and was ordered by God after Brother Moses. And so he gathers them all together again to hear. He's given them these things that we read in chapter 23. And he calls them together again to speak with them yet one more time. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Now, this other side of the flood, this isn't talking about Noah's flood. It's talking about the Euphrates River. It's talking about Mesopotamia, the Ur of the Chaldees, the cradle of civilization, where Brother Noah and his three sons settled, and that where the civilization and that of mankind from whence they went out into the world. He's talking, when he says that, makes that reference about the other side of the flood, he's talking about that land and that place to the east of the Euphrates. He said, "The Lord called our great, 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 however it was, depending on what generation you were in, he called our grandfather Abraham from that place. He called him out. He saved him. He made him promises. And he has fulfilled those promises even in us." That's implied. He said, there in that place on the east side of the Euphrates, they served other gods. Verse 3, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood," again, to east of the Euphrates, "and led him throughout the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. And I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt." Brother Mark's taught about that here in recent time. "According to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out." Some of you here may remember that when you were little. "We came out of there. I brought you out of there. Brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt." Talking about that first generation. "And you came into the sea." Our brother taught about that today. "And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, wrecked Egypt, ruined Egypt, depleted Egypt for their sakes, that his nation might be born, equipped, have the wealth that they needed for their future. What I've done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season." Of course, that was because of their sin. "And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, he arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. They could have ganged up and gathered up against Israel and from the human standpoint defeated them. But the Lord was with them. And he gave them success over impossibilities. Because the power of the Lord cannot be defeated by anyone. And I sent the hornet." I like this. "I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you." Doesn't that smack of Egypt and Goshen? I mean, every hornet I've ever met didn't seem to be a respecter of persons to me. Isn't that sound that they make just really kind of ominous? I mean, that's a different kind of buzz and a different kind of rumbling, isn't it? A hornet. You don't want to be bit or stung by a hornet. Ooh. But the Lord used the hornets, of all things, the hornets, and sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you. How did they distinguish between the Israelites and the Canaanites? The Lord directed them, didn't he? Even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. The Lord would interject a deliverance like that from time to time, just to let them know that by his power, they were having success and blessing. And I have given you, verse 13, a land which ye, for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. Isn't that something? And dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, which ye planted not, do ye eat? Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. That paganism and wickedness that takes away the glory of the Lord. Put all that stuff away and serve and worship the Lord. Don't serve those gods like were served and worshipped on the other side of the Euphrates and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. So to this point, Brother Joshua is reminding them again, isn't he? He's brought them back together again to remind them about what the Lord's calling is upon them and what the Lord has done for them and how the Lord has just used various means and stuff to accomplish his purpose and his promises and his will in them. But he's not announced, and this man will be your leader going forward. What Brother Joshua is doing is he's making an emphasis on the Lord their God. You've heard you that were young enough, below 20 years of age, that were there at Sinai. You heard the Lord speak when he declared unto us, I am the Lord. And your children that have been raised up and born in these last 40 years that sojourn during that sojourn in the wilderness and our fathers, which died off, except for a very, very few, Brother Joshua, Brother Caleb, according to what we understand from the scriptures. You've been told, and even on this end, you've been seeing the deliverance of the Lord. Serve the Lord. Worship the Lord. Verse 15. Hallmark passage. We quote it a lot, but I thought it would do us well to understand the context of it. This is preparation for the future. For the future without a figurehead leader. For the future of the children of Israel and the nation to not have a point man ordained by the Lord, having been given the blessings that they've been given, still having the remainder of the mission that they had to go ahead and occupy the land. And we're going to see examples of that as we go into the book of Judges, how for a little while they did pursue it and they did understand what the Lord would have them do. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, on the east of the Euphrates, the same kind of wickedness that the Canaanites have here in this land, or the gods of the Amorite in whose lands ye dwell. But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A lot of us have it on placards and on signs, on pictures, or on the wall in our homes. It's good. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua calls them to remember the faithfulness of the Lord and all that he's declared and how he's never failed. He said, put away all that wicked desire to serve the gods on the east of the Euphrates and the gods here of the inhabitants of Canaan, and make a stand and choose who you're going to serve and remember what the Lord has done. The Lord has defeated all of those gods and all those people for our sake. He says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God forbid. No, No, we don't need to go there to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, this is the people speaking, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in the way wherein we went. And among all the people through whom we passed, He delivered us and delivered us and delivered us. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. So they answer, we will too. We will serve the Lord too. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive you your transgressions, nor your sins. Well, that's kind of negative. Why would he say that? Well, he challenges them for the future, doesn't he? He says, be careful. He said, you need to be careful about making a commitment such as this. He said, you don't need to be presumptuous. He will not forgive presumptuous sins, and He will do what He said in bringing trial and affliction upon you. He says, if you do not do what I say, they will be pricks in your sides and thorns in your eyes. He says, you need to follow Him. You cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. Remember how holy He is. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. So he challenges them. He presses them. Do you really mean it? Are you really dedicated to it? Because see, Brother Joshua, and having led these people for the short time of his life, what, another 30, 40 years, he knows what their tendency is. And he really is putting the heat on them because, again, he's not announced that there's another man to step into the place. They have heard from the Lord, I am the Lord. And now that they're in the land, that's the way it's to be. The people said unto Joshua, verse 21, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. He said, you're the witnesses. You've testified to it. Now therefore put away, saith he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto God, unto the Lord God of Israel. What he said here is, this is your leader, the Lord God of Israel. You take your heart and your ear, and you incline it. You lean over there to the Lord, and you listen to what His leadership is. Isn't that interesting? Not another man, but the Lord Himself. The way of the Lord that He has wanted it. And again, the Lord never tries to do anything, but His desire and His purpose and plan from the beginning was to go in the garden in the cool of the day and visit with Adam and woman. Fellowship with His creation, with mankind, has always been the purpose and plan of the Lord. And Joshua says, you incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, verse 24, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. There's a tune that we sing with those words. That's the answer to verse number 15. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, an agreement, a promise, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. You said it. You're the witnesses. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak. that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. You've said this day. You've committed this day to serve him. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, of those different ones that were mentioned about their judges and their heads and their leaders and such, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground that Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. And they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. Brother Joshua and his urging and exhortation unto that second generation that had occupied the land of Canaan. Not the announcement of another man that would take his place, but a reminder of who it was that had brought them and fulfilled his promises unto them, and the one that they were to serve and walk with. The Lord God of Israel. Serve and worship and obey him in every way. May the Lord help us as we go forward. And Lord, next week, next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll delve in. We'll start in on the book of Judges, and we'll see how what the Scripture says about how, for a time, they obeyed that. Sadly, for a very short time, they obeyed that, and then it began to cause them trouble.